Hi, it's Patrick here, and this is a story about words that you can't see unless you know how to see them. Words that are written in invisible ink. Now, don't get hung up on that phrase. Don't let the idea of invisible ink constrain your imagination. There are many, many different substances that over the years have been used to create that invisible effect. You may never think of lemon juice, among other things, in quite the same way after you've heard this story from The Big Show's Clark Boyd. Here goes.
I've been finding scrappy bits of seemingly blank paper all over the house lately. I say seemingly because, you see, my daughter recently got a top-secret sleuthing kit for her 8th birthday. And the kit contains two pens. One pen has invisible ink, which you use to craft your super-secret messages. You use the other pen to rub over the note, revealing those messages. My daughter's notes say something like, "Can I have a cookie?" I tend to write back, "Eat your vegetables." Okay, not exactly spy versus spy, but it did pique my interest. And then I got a review copy of a new book called Prisoners, Lovers, and Spies, the story of invisible ink from Herodotus to Al-Qaeda.
People are always surprised. They think this is kids' stuff. People actually use this stuff to send secret messages. It's serious business.
Christy McCrackis is the author. Her research focuses on the historical intersections between science and espionage. On a trip to Berlin a few years ago, she was working on a book about the East German secret police, the Stasi. She'd gotten hints that the Stasi liked to use invisible ink, but she'd never seen an actual method or formula detailed. Then the archivist handed her a very thin file, tucked in among a bunch of others.
And I opened it up, and my mouth fell open. I thought, wow, finally, invisible ink formulas dating from the Cold War from the 1970s.
McCrackis thought there was no way they'd make a photocopy of this for her, but she asked anyway. And to her surprise, they did. A few minutes later, she was making a quick getaway.
So I stuffed the copy of the file in my knapsack and started waltzing down the steps in my sandals. And, you know, I felt like I was in a Hitchcock film or something. And so I fled down the steps and I looked behind me and they weren't asking for the file back, and I walked outside and I thought, I'm home free.
McCrackis brought the Stasi secret ink formula back to Georgia Tech in Atlanta, where she teaches. She found a chemist friend, and together with some students, they recreated the formula through trial and error. Now, McCrackis was having so much fun with the topic that she decided to write a book about the history of invisible ink and secret writing, steganography, to give it its proper name. Now, this isn't cryptography. We're not talking codes and ciphers. We're talking about the Roman poet Ovid giving Dear Abby-style advice about the kind of plant juice lovers could use to write secret messages. We're talking about prisoners who have used oatmeal and milk, urine, and semen to write notes. We're talking about Al-Qaeda hiding correspondence in the pixels of a porn film. You name it, says McCrackis, and it's been tried.
Just use your imagination. In fact, throughout history, you find the most fascinating ways of concealing secret messages, whether it's in jewelry or even writing on bodies or concealing it in a tooth, and I'll get to that in a few minutes. So there are lots of ways of concealing it, and they're just fascinating.
Now, about that lemon juice Patrick mentioned at the top of the podcast. You can use a little lemon juice and a toothpick to write a note on a piece of paper. Then hold the paper over flame, and the message magically appears. It's primitive, but it works. In fact, McCrackis uncovered the story of the Lemon Juice Spies, a group of Germans in Britain who were caught using lemon juice to try to send secret messages during World War I. She even found one of the actual lemons used as evidence against them in a box.
I mean, I looked at it and I got, wow, I don't believe this, like a 100-year-old lemon. And this innocuous lemon, put this guy, he was killed along with 11 other German spies. They were shot in the Tower of London one by one.
The invisible ink cat and mouse game between the Germans and the Brits continued into World War II as well. During that war, the Brits caught a Norwegian working as a Nazi spy.
At first, he told a bunch of lies, and then they were asking him about secret writing, and he said he didn't use any. And finally, it came out that he had actually hid a little baggie with invisible ink in his molar. Hopefully, he already had, a hole in his tooth. I don't know. Hopefully, they didn't drill a new hole in his tooth to hide the secret ink in it.
McCrackis also writes about Britain's mass intercept of wartime mail. T. teams of women in Bermuda would sift through letters heading from the U.S. to Britain, searching for secret messages. Draw a pretty straight line, she says, to Edward Snowden's revelations about the NSA.
After World War I, the British claimed that they had a grip on the world's correspondence. Similarly, that's what the NSA and other agencies want to do with electronic, blanket electronic surveillance. It's really the same story of secret writing that was done, you know, 100 years before the World Wide Web with mail interception, used with digital methods.
Everything old is new again, as the saying goes. One mystery, though, that Macrakis hasn't been able to figure out. 16th century Italian scholar and polymath Giambattista Della Porta suggested using a mix of alum and vinegar to write secret messages on eggs. Now, Macrakis says she's tried and tried but can't get it to work. She's offering $200 to anyone who can do it. Get cracking. For The World, I'm Clark Boyd.
Wow, a homework project that you might actually get paid for. Nice. Nice also to have Clark back on the pod. These days he produces a regular segment for the big show called Sideways Glance. This story was one of those. And you can hear more by going to pri.org/sidewaysglance. And you can hear more language stories by going to pri.org/language. That's it for this pod. I'll be back very soon.